Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it is Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, just south of Kearney. Our author, Matt Purple, the book Decline from the Top, Snapshots from America's Crisis and Glimmers of Hope. The latter part of that, of course, is always nice to get a little hope thrown in there. Matt Purple, editor, journalist, written for Spectator, American Conservative, National Review, Washington Examiner, many other magazines and newspapers. And I thank you for being with us. And I can't help but wonder if you and I aren't in the ballpark around the same age, because you kind of referenced us 30 years ago, just how much better things were then. 90s for me, I graduated 95, and so you have a lot of, you know, memories from that period of time, those formulative years, and I remember thinking back then we had some serious problems, but when I look at what's occurring today, I think, man, what a glorious time it was. What made you use the 90s as sort of a reference point?
So it started in a very personal place. And by the way, thank you so much for having me on the show. It started in a personal place. You know, the personal is often political. And for me, I grew up in the 90s. I was the quintessential 90s kid. I was born in 1987. So that spanned my childhood roughly. And I grew up with this just sense that I was incredibly fortunate to be living in the United States of America, you know, the most prosperous nation in the history of the world. All the problems seemed to have been solved. You know, the Berlin Wall came down before I was even conscious. So it was just a really great time to be alive and to grow up. And there was a very persistent sense of optimism back then. You know, people really believed in the future. If you were a techno pessimist, or if you were worried about Wall Street or something like that, those views didn't get a lot of airtime because they just weren't really in the currency back then. It was just, there was this innate patriotism that a lot of us grew up with. And what interests me is not so much that that's been lost somewhat or diminished, it's that we've come to a place where it's the complete opposite, where polls find people are so pessimistic about the future. You know, for young people, millennials and Gen Z, they say the American dream doesn't even exist for them. There's something like 40% of people say we may cease to be a democracy, that our days as a democracy might be over. So there's this very dark sense of gloom that overhangs the American psyche right now. And for me, that's a real sense of whiplash, right? It's the opposite of what I grew up with. And I became really curious about how we got from point A to point B.
Well, how did we get here?
That's a very good question. And the answer is we can't quite know. There's no single force that we can blame, or I think single narrative quite yet, because the story isn't over yet. We're still writing it. We don't know quite where we're going to end up or what's going to happen. I think there's a lot of individual factors that have conspired to get us to this place. And what the book tries to do is, rather than, you know, tell a history or tell a single story, to take a kind of amused, you know, look at, it's a collection of essays, and take a kind of amused look at these different factors that have got us here. And I think one of those factors is that everybody in the 90s was very excited about technology and the internet and the communications revolution, and that kind of went sour on us, right? It's not that the internet is some kind of unqualified evil thing, but it is that there's a real downside to it, you know, the vitriol and the dehumanization and the fact that we spend so much time on there instead of in our actual communities. There's the sense of isolation that I think has you know, taken hold in a lot of places in America, especially after the COVID lockdowns. You know, we went into lockdown, we had no real sense of the impact it was going to have on our communities, on, you know, the businesses that were going to be closed down, the way it was going to retard the educations of our kids, and the impact that was going to have on them. And then also there's the fact that our politics has just, you know, really suffered, I think, from both of these forces. And really, it's gone into almost like, you know, campy 1980s parody movie style. Mm. There's just so much that's wrong with our politics right now. There's way too much power in the executive branch. And there's a lot of stuff in between. You know, one of the chapters asks, why haven't we been back to the moon in so many decades? You know, why have we given up on the space program? That was once a hallmark of American greatness. What happens to that? What happened to that? Another one looks at this new, you know, kind of cultural religion of wokeness that the left has really coalesced around, which I call a religion, a theology of decline. So there's a lot of individual strands that have gotten us to this point. And, you know, again, we haven't quite figured out what the ending is going to be. Hopefully it'll be a happy ending, but we'll see.
We are talking with our author of the week, Matt Purple. The book, Decline from the Top, Snapshots from America's Crisis and Glimmers of Hope. You know, we were last, of course, it was a week or two ago at this point that the Trump-Harris debate took place, and there was questions, of course, about January 6th. And I thought it was very telling that there wasn't a single question about the assassination attempt on Trump. And particularly given that is a branch of the government that is under, you know, in the executive, which one of the two candidates is part of that branch. And, and you know, there were a number of aspects of it, which if we're talking about our concerns about peaceful transitions of power, it seemed like that's a very, very relevant question. And the fact that it wasn't even touched on or asked, and I know there's some political component to it, but it just seemed... Referencing you talk about this sort of darkness that seems to have blanketed our culture. And then the second assassination attempt, and I was talking with someone who said that he didn't know about it until a few hours later because he was watching a game, and he was shocked once he learned that there wasn't even a crawl along the bottom of the screen saying there's been a second you know, just that's the way it is now. And like I said, I know there is a political component to it. But man, if you had back in the 90s said we're going to get to the point where there can be two assassination attempts and it doesn't even bother a mention to crawl across the bottom of a screen during a game, that's a pretty bleak version of things.
Yeah, it really does. It shows how much it's become normalized. And I think we're seeing now the impact of just how when politics feels like the stakes are this high, you know, when it becomes an existential matter and when the rhetoric gets that hot, inevitably, there are going to be some people who say, all right, well, then I need to take matters into my own hands. If Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, if democracy is going to die in darkness, if he's elected, then maybe I need to take up arms and do something about that. And I'm with you. I was watching football, try to steer clear of politics on Sundays. It always seems to find a way to creep back in. And there was the banality of it was really striking and a little chilling. And we should be clear, America has always been a violent place. We've always had high stakes politics. You know, presidents have been assassinated. But I don't think there's ever been a high profile political figure in our history who suffered two almost there assassination attempts within the course of 2 months. I might be wrong about that, but I certainly can't think of one off the top of my head.
We're talking with our author of the week, Matt Purple, our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Decline from the Top is the book, Snapshots from America's Crisis and Glimmers of Hope. So tell us a bit about the glimmers of hope.
I think that the first place that I would identify it is when it comes to COVID, because I think there's a sense that we are emerging out of the funk that we were in over that some of the isolation is dissipating. We're starting to see people go back to bars more. We're starting to see people go back to restaurants more. And, you know, we're starting to become, I think, the social creatures that we need to be and that we were before these lockdowns took effect. And then there was this kind of hangover period where our social behavior was changing. We weren't going into the office in the same way. Some of that is going away. And I think that's a positive thing. I'm not sure what exactly our social lives are going to look like. I think that COVID probably did change certain behaviors for a long time. And especially when it comes to our kids who, again, were deprived of an education for a couple of years. I think there's going to be a real stunting effect there, but nonetheless, we're starting to reawaken and reopen after that very unfortunate period. And I also just think the fact that, you know, you have a younger generation. I'm a millennial, and we were taught for so long, you know, we're young, we're hip, we're fresh, we're like the youngest people. We're not anymore. We're all like in our 30s and 40s now. It's Gen Z, this new cohort who's coming up. And there's a lot of problems with Gen Z, but I think there's a sense among the Zoomers who I've talked to that this way of doing things is not sustainable, you know, that something needs to give, that they need to, you know, build something up that's better than what they had before. They need a constructive America rather than we're just tearing everything down all the time. We're, you know, just savaging everybody on social media. They grew up with social media, remember. It's like fish in water. So I think they've become more curious about how they can improve things. And So is it, should we have faith in the young? Maybe we'll find out. But I think that's definitely another glimmer of hope.
Is there anything that the average American can do to sort of steer us back towards that period of time where we were more uplifted and positive about things?
I think that it's very easy to despair for your country when it feels disconnected from you. Mm. And so if politics for you is this just battle between these two giant figures, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, and of course that does matter. I mean, the presidential election is vitally important this year. But there's also, it can feel like a kind of vicarious thing. I think there's a lot people can do just by disconnecting from that for a while and going out in their communities and finding out about the little things that need to be done that aren't necessarily sexy, that aren't necessarily going to lead the news. But, you know, there's people not just in places like Springfield, Ohio, who need help and need attention. There's also people right next door. There's people right down the street. I think that, you know, rediscovering the more localist way that we used to live. And, you know, back when you knew your neighbors better, back before your attention was kind of diverted upward, I think there can be real hope there. It's not to say it's going to be that easy. It's certainly not. It's a lot more complicated than that. But I think that that's one thing that people can do is just to live in that more concrete, more, you know, next door kind of world and you know, try to do good, not just on social media and through national politics, but through local issues as well.
Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Matt Purple, thank you so much. The book is Decline from the Top, Snapshots from America's Crisis and Glimmers of Hope. For Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.